the animal. I really do.
All right, let's get started this morning. Using the 101 books this morning, let's turn to song number 2. Song number 2 in the 101 book. If you're able to stand, why don't we do one song? Song number 2. Meant to mention this in Sunday school, but I forgot. We need to pray for Shavit Buzkirk. A lot of us know her. She and her husband Bill used to attend here. They did diagnose her with COVID, and they had to take her to the hospital because she was having a lot of difficulty breathing. They've given her oxygen, and then she's still having some difficulty breathing, but they've gotten it under control to the point where it looks like tomorrow they're going to be able to send her home. So continue to pray for her, and obviously she'll have to be tested numerous times to make sure, number one, that the COVID is gone, and then also to make sure her lung function is improving. So, and then on top of all that, she has asthma, which adds to the problem. So let's continue to pray for her. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for each one who's here today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to look into it. Thank you that we don't have to wonder whether we have it or not. You have preserved it for us. And we pray that as we look into it today, that you would guide and direct us. Help us to hear from you. May your spirit guide us to help us understand what your word says. Pray for our pastor as he preaches today, that you would guide and direct him, help him to say what you would have him say, and that you would receive the honor and glory for all that is said and done in our services today. We do pray for Shavit Buzkirk and her condition there. We pray that you would comfort her and strengthen her, be with her husband Bill as well. And we pray that the doctors would tune in to have them knowledge to know what to do to help her to get better. And we pray that you would just guide and direct there. be with Kelly as she's in the hospital with her CF, and we pray that there would be a very good bounce back for her this time, and that the doctors would be able to help her. And be with both her and Jason and the family, strengthen them at this time and encourage them. Help them all to understand that you're in control of all things. And many times we come across situations we don't understand, but you're in charge and in control, and we can rest in that, knowing that your way is always best for us. Give us a good day. We thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Let's take our 101 books once again and turn to number 5. Number 5 in the 101 book. It's Wednesday at 7 p.m. Hope you'll come for our prayer and Bible study time. Pastor, did you want to mention anything about... Okay, talk later. All right. Very good. Just a reminder about our Bible memory passage. We're studying the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9. We won't take the time to go over it right now, but Hope you'll take the time to study it. Many times we feel like that we're dealing with something unique that nobody else has ever dealt with before. Well, in that passage and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the New Testament, we all are facing things that others have dealt with before.
No.
Nothing new under the sun is what our passage in Ecclesiastes says. And then in the New Testament, when it comes to the testing, the trials that we face, and particularly the temptations and solicitations to do evil from the devil, God has provided for us a way of escape so we can bear it. So, hope you'll take the time to study that passage. We're looking at verse 9 right now, and then we'll be looking at verse 10 eventually. So, all right. Oh, one other item, and that's the birthday card for Florence. Her birthday is this week, and she turns 95. She's not able to come now because of her physical condition, but she's in good spirits and thankful for the fellowship she can still have if people want to call her. So continue to pray for her and her situation. But anyway, we have a birthday card here on the organ, and a lot of us know her well, and I'm glad to be able to reach out to her. All right, let's take our 101 books once again and turn the page to song number 6. As a Volunteer.
Coming, brother, from the stakes of love.
Pastor Welton was talking about going down the road and thinking, is there really a God? And this song's called If There's No God. And I think those thoughts too, brother. You're not alone. You know, sometimes I look around and think, is it real? Is this real? And it is by faith. It's the only way. I haven't seen God, but I know what God did for me. That's what this song's about.
Thank you, brother, for that song, Glory to God. You tell me, I'll tell you why I know God exists is because what he did for me. He changed me. I'm a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. I can't explain it. March 19th, 2000, God changed me. I ain't never been the same since. Now, have I fallen back into sin sometimes? Yes. But the whole time I was in sin or doing wrong, I knew I was doing wrong, and God was showing me and telling me that I was doing wrong, and I was not without chastisement. If you have a son or if you have a daughter and they're doing wrong, they ought to know that they're doing wrong by their father or their mother. And when you're now God's child, God lets you know that you're doing wrong. And that's one of the ways you know that you're His, is He now deals with you as sons and daughters of His. That's how I know I'm saved. That's how I know there's a God. That's how I know that Jesus is alive, because I'm not what I used to be. God's changed me and made me a new creature. In that hymn we sang, A Glorious Church, the line 3 says, never fear the clouds of sorrow, never fear the storms of sin. We shall triumph on the morrow, even now our joy begins. And that's kind of what I want to look at this morning. God laid upon my heart this morning to just look at what the Bible talks about with joy. Is there joy in your life this morning? Do you have joy with God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Dear God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, I just ask that you just lead and direct and guide, Father, in all that's said and done. I pray, move myself out of the way, Lord. And that, Father, that we would just glorify you this morning through your precious word. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that's lacking some joy, dear God, just they're down, I pray you encourage them. Pray you lift them up, Lord. And Lord, I pray we would just live a life that is full of your joy. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take your Bible this morning, we're going to look at Psalm chapter number 16 and verse number 11. Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 11. Psalm 16, verse number 11. And we're going to look at the very last verse in this psalm that David wrote. And Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11, this verse kind of jumped out at me, and it says this. David says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David says here in the latter part of this psalm, he says, thou wilt show me the path of life. And then he says, after that, I'm shown the path of life, that in this path is God's presence. And in God's presence is what? Not just joy, but the fullness of joy. And once you're in his presence and you have the fullness of joy, you'll find out that at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Listen, this life, if you're striving to find pleasure and satisfaction by what this world can offer you, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Sadly disappointed. There's no physical high that we can have in this physical body that at some point's not going to come down. And I'm not just talking about drugs or alcohol. I'm talking about anything that excites us, gives us joy, lifts us up. We can't stay on that high, even if it's a good high. There's going to be joy in this physical life that you're going to be happy, you're going to be joyful, but that's not going to stay that way. At some point, you're going to come back down into the valley and face reality. Most of life is full of sorrows and afflictions and trials and temptations, but the Bible says here that in his presence is fullness of joy. And I believe this morning that no matter what trials or temptations or afflictions that we go through, as we're going through it, we can have joy in our Savior. Even though outwardly everything's falling apart, the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. But it takes you being in his presence. Now, number one, before our joy can be full, we need to make sure that we're walking on the path of life. Take your Bible and look over at Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. David said in Psalm 16, verse 11, David said that thou wilt show me the path of life. If you desire to know the path of life, if you desire it now, it's your desire. God's not going to force you to choose the path of life. It's got to be your decision. But if you desire it, David says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Look at Proverbs chapter number 12. And verse number 28. Proverbs 12 and verse number 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Now, is that true or is that a lie? I believe it's true. Well, you say, well, Brother Chris, how can that be true? Because the Bible said he's claiming that in the pathway thereof, in the pathway of righteousness is life, and in that pathway there is no death. Well, I thought people still die. Yeah, physical death. But this is just the beginning. If you look at it, in essence, every individual that's been born is alive today or has been born is eternal in a sense. They're never going to die again. You're never not going to cease to exist once you're created and born. When you become a living creature, when you're born out of your mother's womb, you have both body, soul, and spirit. The body is going to die, but that soul and spirit is going to live forever in one of two places, heaven or hell, for eternity. It's never going to cease to exist or be annihilated, as I believe Jehovah's Witnesses teach. There is no a final annihilation. No, that soul will exist forever in one of two places, either in heaven with God or in hell. It will not cease to exist. So there is no final death. There might be a death to this body, but that's just the vehicle that the soul and spirit's in. The soul and spirit's going to go on. The body's not. And I'll be raised again someday and we'll get a new body someday for those that are saved. But your soul will live forever. So it says here in Proverbs 12, verse 28, in the way of what? Righteousness is what? Life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Well, how do I get on the path of life? It's found in the way of righteousness. Righteousness means this. It's the purity of heart and rectitude of life. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. In essence, it's holiness. So, in the way of righteousness, in the way of holiness, in desiring to try to live right for God, you're going to find life. And in that pathway, there is no death. Number two, the path of life can be found in the Word of God. And the Lord is more than willing to teach us if we so desire. Flip on over to Psalm 119 and verse number 35. Psalm 119 and verse number 35. Again, David said, thou wilt show me the path of life. Well, we know that in the way of righteousness is life. But I believe God will show us that it can be found in his word, and he's willing to teach those who desire to find it. Psalm 119, look at verse number 35. Make me, well, look at verse 33. Psalm 119, 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Look what this psalmist says. He says, teach me, and then he says in verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. This psalmist says in Psalm 119, and you'll see it all through this chapter, this desire to know God. Not just to know him partially, but with the whole heart. And this psalmist has a very teachable spirit, a very humble spirit, saying, God, teach me thy ways. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Why? Because therein do I delight. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Brother, I'm glad you sang that song. I'm happy this morning. I have joy. I have peace this morning. Not just because things are calm in my life right now in some senses, but I have a peace with God. I'm not worried this morning. I'm not worried if I don't get a stimulus check. I'm not worried this morning that Joseph Biden is now my president. I'm not worried. It is what it is. I slept good last night. Thank the Lord. I laid my head in a pillow last night. I'm free. Right now, I'm not worried about anybody busting through the doors there with guns saying that we can't meet no more. As far as I know, there's been no decree or command that's prohibiting the use of a Bible this morning. I have a living Savior this morning who loves me, who died for me, who went to the cross and took my place and took his sins upon me to give me new life this morning. I have joy this morning because I got to sing to my Savior and be around the brethren. There's no need to be sad this morning. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, there is joy in his presence. We can have joy this morning, just as a song sang about a glorious church. There is joy in his presence. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word," I said it this morning in Sunday school, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The path of life can be found in righteousness. It can be found in the word of God. And God desires for you to have it. And he's more than willing to teach you this morning the path of life. Look over at Psalm 27, verse number 11. Psalm 27 and verse number 11. I had a brother come up to me this morning, and Lord willing, when I get up here permanently, I'm going to try to put together, if somebody desires, or I'll put it up on the, of the verses that we're going to look, that we look at. I know I go through quite a few verses, and if you so desired, and I hope you would, to later on go back and look at those verses, I think it's important. I think it's important to know your weapon. It's a sword of spirit. You're doing memory verses is good. And this is another thing I'm going to try to do. My pastor, he found it. I don't know where he found it from. I'm going to try to, I'm getting one. There's like five or six of them. But they're memory verses, they're memory verse books. And I forget what church puts it out, but some brother in the Lord put it together. Brother Grooms, I don't know if he's even still alive. But he put together these little booklets. And they go through different subjects on, and you memorize them. And there's a way to memorize them. You do it all through the week. You go through a routine with it to try to get those scriptures in your mind. And I'd like at some point to implement it here into what we're doing as far as memorizing verses. That way, you would, if you desire, you would have a copy yourself and you can keep it in your pocket and just take it out wherever and go over those verses that we're looking at to try to memorize. But it's important to know your sword. It's important to be familiar with the weapon that God has given you. Listen, he's given us the full armor of God, and one part of that armor is a weapon. And it's a sword, the sword of spirit, the word of God. And we ought to be familiar with it. We ought to know our weapon. Psalms 27, verse number 11. Look what he says. It says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Why? Because of mine enemies. Brethren, you have enemies of your soul. I'm not talking about physical people. I'm talking about the spiritual side of it. There is an enemy of your soul. And the psalmist here, David, says in Psalm 27, 11, he says to God, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." Why? "And lead me in a plain path." Why? "Because of mine enemies." Because those that would try to destroy me and the life that I'm trying to live for God. You see, in the path of life leads directly into the Holy of Holies, to the God that gave and created all life. It says there in Psalm 27, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I believe this path of life leads directly into the Holy of Holies of God that he gave and created all life. Make sure, number one here, is that you're born again and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the true path of life. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Take your Bible and look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 15. John chapter 3 and verse number 15. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 3:15. "For whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Look, remember we read that verse that said there is no death. Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. The path of life. In Jesus Christ, you now have eternal life. Brethren, if that ain't something to get excited about, I don't know what there is to get excited about. You will live for eternity with Jesus Christ. I can't even begin to comprehend all that statement entails of eternal life. That's one of those things, too, where you're driving down the road and you start thinking about eternity. That's just something sometimes gets to my mind. I can't even think about it because it's so vast and so hard to understand of eternal life to where I'll never die. I was talking to a brother, sister about this, about the verse there in Revelation where Paul sees all those individuals around the throne. Brethren, if you're saved, you were there. When John looked at that throne that was giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ at that throne at the very end, you're there if you're saved. But we're sitting here, standing here this morning, yet we're there. The Bible says in Ephesians that we're seated with him in heavenly places. In Christ. But you're seated at 610 Race Street in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania. Yet you're seated in heaven. Oh, I got the Bible all figured out. Are you crazy? Oh, I don't need to study my Bible. I read through it one time. Oh, really? I can't even read through one verse. I can't even get one verse down. I'm done reading my Bible. I've already read through that. I already read through it one time. Well, aren't you smart? I can't even begin to explain to you how I'm seated in heavenly places, yet I'm right here right now in Christ Jesus. Look, there's things that we have no clue about. We can't even begin to comprehend all that's bound up in what we have in Jesus Christ. I believe it's beyond comprehension in these mortal bodies. But the Bible does say that in his presence is fullness of joy. And that's what I desire this morning. He has eternal life. Take your Bible and look at Hebrews chapter 9. Now, I made a statement that says, I believe that the path of life leads directly into the Holy of Holies, to the God that gave and created all life. You see, I cannot have eternal life unless Jesus Christ did what he did for you and me. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Someone had to go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for us, brethren. And as we're going to read here in Hebrews chapter 9, it couldn't be done by no mere man on this earth that's been born by a woman on this earth besides Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Now remember, it says, David said in Psalm 16:11, he says, thou wilt teach me the path of life, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's contained there in the Holy of Holies. Look what he says in verse 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, for which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went in always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Now they could go, they were commanded to go into that first section of the tabernacle daily. They had to bring in the showbread. They had to make sure that the candles were burning. There was duties that God commanded that they had to observe daily in that very first section of the tabernacle. Verse number 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. So get this picture in your mind. If you were a part of the children of Israel, if you were a Jew serving God, unless you were part of the Levitical priesthood, you didn't even have access to the first part of the Holy of Holies. All you could do was just bring your sacrifice to the gate there, to the priest, put your hands upon it, offer it for what you had done, that beast sheds its blood, and then the priest takes it and he takes it from there. You couldn't even get into the first part of the Holy of Holies, much less to go in even into the second part. Because only one man once a year, by who God chose, who was part of the royal priesthood, was allowed access into the Holy of Holies, and that was once a year, and that was to offer the blood sacrifice for the sins of the people and himself. Now I'm getting to a point this morning. Not anybody could just walk up in there, and if you did, you died. Look at verse number 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Look, you could bring those sacrifices, but you always had a conscience for what you did, and your conscience was never clear. It could temporarily, look, those blood sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament temporarily appeased God. But it could not give you eternal life. No matter what gifts you brought, no matter what blood you brought, no matter what died for you, at that point, nothing could give you access to the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And when you died, you went down into the center of the earth there in Abraham's bosom. You could not have access to heaven and to the presence of God. Look at verse number 10. Could not purge your conscience. Latter part of verse 9. Verse number 10. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Okay, so Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, provided eternal life. And now the Bible says here in Hebrews that it also, we have obtained eternal redemption. We don't have to fear that we're going to lose it. It's eternal. When you get saved, it's an eternal transaction that cannot be changed. It's set forever because of not anything you've done, but what Christ has done for you. By his blood, he obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. Redemption means this. In theology, the purchase of God's favor by the death and suffering of Christ. We purchase eternal redemption. God's purchased us, and we've got favor with God because of the death of his son on the cross of Calvary. It means the ransom or deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God violated law by the atonement of Christ. Therefore, we cannot suffer God's wrath. That's why the church will not go through the tribulation. It's impossible for the church to go through the tribulation because we have obtained eternal life and eternal redemption. The wrath of God was already poured out on his son on the cross of Calvary. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you are now in him. He is now in you. He took it all for you. We don't have to face it again. The wrath of God that's going to come on this earth is for the Jews and those that are not a part of the church of God. Therefore, we cannot go through the tribulation. It is impossible. Because it was poured out on Christ. We have obtained eternal redemption. Now go on to verse number 13 in Hebrews chapter 9. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, look what it does, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Do you see what you get this morning? You get eternal life. You get eternal redemption by the eternal Spirit with an eternal inheritance. You ought not to have joy. Does that not make you joyous to receive what you have in Jesus Christ? Take the world and give me Jesus. Amen. You can have this world. You can have the fancy cars. You can have the nice houses. You can have the perfect job, the most beautiful wife, the most handsome husband. Take it all. Give me Jesus. Because of look what I have in him. Look what he's done. Why? 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 What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Why? Because he loves us. He loves us and he cares for us. And he wants us to have the fullness of joy in him. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You need joy this morning? Get in the presence of Jesus Christ. Study and read in his precious book of what he's done for you and I and what he has procured for us by his death on that cross. What we have in Jesus Christ will never be fully comprehended. I don't even believe in eternity. We'll never fully comprehend what Jesus Christ has done for us. But in thy presence is fullness of joy. We are joyful because God defends us. Look at Psalm chapter 5, verse number 11. Some things to be joyful in. Not only what I just said, the statements that I just made, but we can be joyful because we know that we have a God that defends us. And nothing takes him by surprise. God is not surprised this morning by the state of our country. God is not surprised this morning that Joe Biden got elected and is now in the Oval Office. He's not surprised by that. It didn't take him off guard. He's not like, oh, I didn't realize that was going to happen on earth in the United States. No, God's not. God knows all. And he's not surprised. And he defends us. Look at Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 11. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee do what? Rejoice. Why? Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You ought to shout in church.
Yes, sir.
Because I just gave you Bible on it. So if that bothers you that somebody might shout in church, then we got a problem with scripture. Because David says here, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because of what God's done for David. How much more ought we to shout for God who have Jesus Christ? I'm afraid that today we've let the Pentecostals steal some of the joy that we can have with God.
Come on.
I'm afraid today that we sometimes follow too much the traditions of men, the traditions of the church, rather than what does the Bible say? The Bible says here in Psalm chapter 5, David says, I'm shouting because I trust in God. Why am I shouting? Because God defends me. Look here, maybe some of us need to be chased by a Saul with his spear in his hands to put a little pep in our step to shout for joy when God delivers us. You say, Brother Quist, what are you talking about? I'm talking about maybe some things in your life are too perfect and you ain't got no need to shout because everything's fine. That's one of the problems with our country. Everything's, we just think, when does it get back to normal so I can just go back to my life and just have my life? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. But see, if everything's perfect in life and everything's going good with my government and my bills are paid and I ain't got to worry and I got my house paid off and this is all working out for me, why do I need God? Why do I need to shout? There's no victory because I got it all. Maybe we need a Saul to start chasing us and come after our life because maybe it'll produce a little shouting when you get deliverance. Brethren, we're missing it. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to quench not the spirit. we're killing ourselves. And then we wonder why we struggle with stuff. And why we have no joy. And why we're anxious. And why we have fear. And why... Because we're not letting God work in our life. David shouted. David shouted for what God had done for him. And that's not the only verse in the Bible that talks about shouting unto God. I'm not going to do exhaustive study on this morning. I wasn't planning on even talking about that this morning. But verse number two says, we find joy by the strength of the Lord. Psalm 21:1 says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Nehemiah 8:10 says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have joy. And what was Nehemiah? Read the story of Nehemiah this week. Look at all, Sennacherib and all them coming up and trying to dissuade them from building a wall and building back up Jerusalem and all of the battles that they were facing. And Nehemiah says to his people there, he says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Walk with God and he'll give you joy, for in his presence is fullness of joy. But we got to get in his presence. There's a cost that comes to it. There's a cost that comes to this. To show, listen to me now, to show and exhibit joy in your life to others. Listen to where others see that you have joy. To show and exhibit joy in your life to others will come at a cost and sacrifice to you. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 27, verse number 6. Psalm chapter number 27, verse number 6. We need joy today. This world needs to see Christians that have joy in Jesus Christ, not just because they're getting a $2,000 stimulus check.
Come on.
Or the government's giving me a tax break on this. No, they need to see that we have joy because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Psalm chapter 27, verse 6, but it's going to kind of come at a cost. Look at Psalm 27, 6. David again. David causes us a lot of problems now. Man, David, you just caused me a lot of problems. Psalm 27, verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Sacrifices of joy. Didn't it cost David when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back in? Who got all over him? His own wife. You do show yourself to be a fool, one of the fools. Why? Because he was dancing around and praising God because the Ark of the Covenant was now in Jerusalem. Brethren, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. You had the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. They didn't have that. David was not born of the Spirit. David did not have the Holy Ghost indwelling within him. He wasn't seated in heavenly places as you and I were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He was not in Christ Jesus. Yet look at the enthusiasm and excitement that he had for his great Savior, his God, that allowed him to take out a giant. Because he had a love for God, and I believe David was walking in the presence of God and he was full of joy. But it comes at a sacrifice. You know, there was many years, brethren, there was many years that it was a struggle for me to lift my hands in church and praise God. Because I'm an introvert. I am an introvert. I don't express my emotions. I can stay all by myself. Now, when I preach, I do. But that's God, because it makes no sense. If you'd have told me 20 years ago when I got saved that I'd be pastor or I'd go into prison, I would have said, you're crazy, because it's not me. But I get stirred up because of my God that I serve and what he's done for me. How can I not? How can I not get excited? How can I not love the God who loved me? Because you don't know me. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things I've thought. You don't know places I've been, yet God still loves me. And that's the same for you all. The things you've thought, the wicked things that you've thought that nobody knows about, the things you might have done in your life that nobody knows about, the places you might have been in your life that nobody knows about, yet God loves you. Yet God made a way out for you. Yet God saved you through his son Jesus Christ. You're still breathing this morning. He hasn't taken you out. That's his mercy. It comes at a cost. And I remember God dealing with me about lifting my hands to praise him. The Bible says to lift up holy hands. So it's Bible. But it comes at a cost, because all of a sudden all the hounds of hell are going to come around you when you try to lift up your hands to Jesus Christ and praise him. And every devil that there is in this county or township or whatever it's called here is going to come flooding in your mind saying, what a fool you look like. Everybody's looking at you. Everybody's making fun of you. They think, oh, you're just trying to be spiritual. That's coming nowhere but straight from the devil. Because guess what? The devil wants worship. And he doesn't want you to give worship to your Savior. But it's going to come at a cost. I guarantee you. Go ahead. Try it. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to get out of you. And that's what it is. Pride. I'm not going to lift my hands to my God because I'm prideful. Because I'm afraid what I look like. Brethren, it's Bible. Amen. I'm not giving what Chris, the Bible says, lift up holy hands. That's Old Testament. We ain't even getting the New Testament yet. That's Old Testament saints. If Old Testament saints can lift their hands to their God, what about New Testament saints? But it's going to come at a cost. I'm telling you, there's a sacrifice with it. It's going to come at a cost. But as sure, brethren, I preached this in my church, my Pastor Dawson's church down there. I believe as sure as I did, and I ain't seen it happen yet. I ain't seen it happen yet. But I wonder what God would do if every believer that was in a church service lifted up their hands and praised God in a song service. I wonder what God would do in a service. I just wonder. I just wonder what kind of thing God would get in on that thing. Quench not the Spirit. And look, I'm not going Pentecostal on you. I'm giving you Bible. But the Pentecostals have stolen something. They've stolen some joy and worship that God deserves. And I'm talking about balance. I'm not talking about going crazy. Because the devil gets in that thing too. I was raised Pentecostal. So you can go to the left side to where you're just like, or you can go to the right side and just be crazy, women flopping everywhere and things barking like dogs. Balance. Balance. Not too far to the right is going to get you in trouble. And you get too far to the left, it's going to get you in trouble. Right in the middle. Balance. Balance. You say, preacher, how do you get balance? By the word of God and the Spirit of God. You'll know when something starts getting fleshly. You'll know, you a little bit too much of you in this now. And too much of the flesh. Right? But then there's also the side, the same thing that caused problems over there, this side causes just as much problems because you're quenching everything. Spirit of God can't do nothing. Why ain't the church getting filled? Why ain't people getting saved? Well, because you're quenching the Spirit. There's only power. Look, Chris, the pastor, I don't have the power. Do you understand? The church needs to tap into that power. Look, you got power lines out here. They're useless unless it's tapped into the source. If it's not tapped into the source and the source isn't turned on, you could have power lines all across the county with lights everywhere, but it's not going to do nothing to you until you flip the switch and the power comes through. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Look here, brethren. God desires for you to have pleasure here. Pleasure. Happiness, joy, peace, contentment, love. God wants you to have it, but you got to get in his presence. You say, I'm saved. Jesus Christ is in me. It ain't coming out very good. And I'm not saying anything about anybody in this church, brethren, so don't think I'm trying to pinpoint anybody. Well, you just preach. No, I'm not saying that to anybody here. I'm saying it as a whole. I would preach the same thing in the church down there in Charleston if God would allow me. I'd preach it in a prison if God would allow me, because it's applicable everywhere. It's not just I'm pinpointing this church. No, I'm saying the church as a whole. Can you imagine what God would do if people got into the presence of God and tapped into what God would have for them in their life? Rather than just being satisfied with the status quo, we might actually see God do something, not only in our lives and in our church or in our city, but in our nation. What did Jonathan Edwards do? He spent a lot of time alone with God in the woods. What did David Brainerd do? He spent a lot of time alone with God in the woods. What did Hudson Taylor do? He spent a lot of time alone with God in China. What did Adoniram Judson do? He spent a lot of time alone with God. What did George Mueller do? He spent a lot of time alone with God. What did D.L. Moody do? He spent a lot of time alone with God. But it comes at a price. There is a price tag to it. It's going to cost you. And it's going to cost me. It's just not, God just doesn't hand it over and say, well, you're saved now. Here you go. We read about it in Deuteronomy. He led them through the wilderness. Why? To prove them. He let them suffer hunger. Why? To see what was in their heart. I don't want the status quo. Brother, you said you prayed this. I think you prayed it, that the work would go on. I want to build upon the work of Pastor Freeman. And I want it to go to new higher levels. And it's nothing against him or what he's done. I want to take it to the next step. And I'm sure if he was here, he would want the same thing. Whoever comes in here, if I somehow, God forbid, something happens to me today and you got to find another pastor, I hope he has the same mindset. Take it to the next level and let God do something. And let me get you this thing here. Well, Brother Chris, Pastor, I've done everything I do and I'm getting victory, but it just seems like nothing around me is changing. That's fine, as long as you got it. You see, we may just tap into the power and God might just move in our lives, but nothing change outside. That's fine. That's keeping us safe where we need to be till God calls us home. We might not change the nation. We might not change the city. This church might not be full and overflowing. But as long as we're in God's presence, we're fine. As long as we're where we need to be with God, everything's okay. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? In thy presence is fullness. There is joy to be had. There is joy to be had, but it's going to cost you. Lastly, joy and rejoicing are the byproducts. Listen to me now. I'm going to close with this last statement. Joy and rejoicing are the byproducts of those who are broken before God. And so, S-O-W, so in tears. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Joy and rejoicing are the byproducts of those who are broken before God and so in tears. Psalm chapter 126, verse number 1. Psalm 126 and verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, again, they were in captivity. God turned it. We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Why? Because God delivered them. Right? God delivered. When he turned the captivity of Zion, he delivered him. And what did that deliverance produce? It produced a tongue that sang out to God, to the heathen, to where they saw this. The heathen said, the Lord hath done a great thing for them. Have you been delivered this morning? Verse number 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Look at verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You got to sow. but you got to sow in tears. If you got lost loved ones this morning, you got to sow in tears. It's going to come at a price. I pray that they get saved. How long did you pray that they get saved? Did you go into the prayer closet and wrestle with God over their soul? It comes at a price. And brethren, as I'm preaching this, I'm preaching to myself. God's whooping my tail just as much as he may be whooping your tail. I don't spend as much time in a prayer closet as I ought to spend, but I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You say, Brother Chris, I've done that and they still ain't saved. Well, but do you have joy knowing that you've done all you could do? Have you done all that you can do? Or are you expecting someone else to carry the weight for you? Well, pray for my lost loved one. They're lost. Well, are you praying for them? Preacher, pray. And I'll try to pray for your lost. I do try to pray for all the lost ones in the prayer request. And I try to pray, but you have a responsibility too. You have just as much access to the throne of God as I do. Remember I read there in Hebrews chapter 9? I didn't go to it, but over there in Hebrews chapter 6, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. But it's going to cost you. You say, well, I go in the prayer closet, nothing happens. Well, is there something you got hidden? Is there something in your life that you need to make right with God? And it's blocking that power source. Has the wires been frayed somewhere? And it's hindering and it's tripping the breaker. I don't have access. Well, is there sin in your life? Is there you doing something you shouldn't be doing? You watching something you shouldn't be watching? You listening to something you shouldn't be listening to? That's going to break that power source until you make it right with God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Psalm 51:17, I'm going to close with this verse. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Joy this morning. We should be joyful because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We should be joyful that God defends us. We find joy in the strength of God. To show joy, we realize it's going to cost us something. But when we have joy and rejoicing, it comes from a broken heart and one that sows in tears before God. The Bible says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to pray. Gosh, brother, if you could just play a little bit something there. Just think this morning, just for a few moments, and then I'll close this out in prayer. But I want you to ask yourself this question this morning, do I have joy? Do I have joy? Am I just going through the motions? I'm not asking you in the next song service to jump out of your seats and run around a church. No. If you're doing it just because I said it, don't do it, because I don't want you to do it just because I said it. I want you to do it because you want to love God and God's put it upon your heart to do so. Do you understand? It does no good just to do something because a preacher says it, to check off the checkbox. No, I lift my hands to God because I want to, because I love him. And I'm not going to say that if you don't, that you don't love him. I'm just saying to examine yourself. And do you have joy? And are you where you want to be with God this morning? That's what I'm asking. Well, fine, I'll just raise my hands. No, see, that isn't it. That's not it. I'll just do what he wants me to do. That's not it. That's not it. That's missing the whole point. So I'm going to have Jason play here in a second, and I just want to, like Paul said in Corinthians, examine yourself. Just examine. Just make sure you're where you need to be with God this morning. If there's some things you need to make right with him, fine, you can come up here or right there in your seat. Get it right with God. Get that power source back in there again to where you got some joy in your life because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because he desires for you to have pleasure in this life. He desires for you to have joy in this life. He desires for you to have peace in this life. And if there's something hindering that this morning, I pray you just make it right with God and get where you need to be with him to to where you have some joy. And if you're already there, pray for those that might not have it. All right? Amen. Just take some time and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the honor and privilege it is to serve you. Lord, I thank you for your precious book, Lord, that you made available to us. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, help me love them as I ought, dear God. Lord, help us to love you. Help us always to have an attitude when we come in here to this church to worship you, Lord. Lord, that we would do it with all our might, all our strength, and all that we have, dear God. Lord, because you're worthy of it. You're worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, if there's something in our lives, myself included, dear God, that would hinder me, Father, from worshiping you as I ought to the fullest extent, dear God, I pray you just show me. And Lord, I pray you just show this church, Lord, help us just to love you more. Lord, we need it. These last days we're living in are getting very dark. We need the joy that comes from thee. Lord, help these precious brethren through the rest of this day, dear God. Watch over them as they go home, Lord, or about their business. Keep them safe on the roadways. But Lord, I pray through this day, dear God, we'd all think about and take an account of where we are with you in our spiritual walk. Lord, we love you. We glorify you. And we just praise you. And I just pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Y'all are dismissed. Amen.